May the Lord help us to come into our services today with hymn 113, 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the law will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. Hymn 113.
Thank you. Our reading from God's word is taken from the 116th Psalm in the second epistle of Timothy, the fourth chapter. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. The second epistle of Paul to Timothy, the closing chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also. For he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. when I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth. Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee. And Pudens and Linus and Claudio and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Gracious and eternal Lord God, we ask a blessing upon thy word, which we have read together. And plead that it may be spirit and life unto us. Let fall the manna and the handfuls of purpose from heaven, and give us that faith to glean and to feed upon Christ, the living bread. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word, which we have read, and for thy glorious gospel to poor sinners, that a way of salvation has been made, that a door of hope is open wide, that the blood of Christ does atone for sin. May we worship under the blood of Christ this day, and know pardon from all our sin. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy merciful kindness to each one of us in bringing us again to thy house in safety, and for allowing the doors to be opened. May we esteem the privilege great. And we pray, Lord, that we may not gather in vain, but may we be gathered and drawn by thee for a purpose, even for the salvation and the edification of our souls. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy providential mercies unto us each, and for thy eternal mercies, which none can ever take from us, if we are favoured to receive them from thy hand. We pray, Lord, ere we come to the end of life's journey, each one may know something of the eternal mercy of God. Help us, Lord, to worship thee aright, may our minds now be totally and completely focused on thee. And may distracting thoughts and cares be removed. May we ponder on thy greatness, on thy majesty, on thy power, that thou art all wisdom, all knowledge, all grace, all holy, and that thine understanding is infinite. Help us, Lord, to remember that we are nothing in thy sight, and as poor, unworthy sinners, we are not worthy or fit to be in thy presence. Lord, may we be made fit in Christ this day. And help us, Lord, to reverently and respectfully, with sacred awe, worship thee and bring the honour and glory due to thy holy name this day. And crown thee, Lord of all, in our lives and hearts, and prove it by obedience to thy name. Bless, we pray, thy church as it meets for worship this day. Bless thy servants as they stand in thy name. Stand with each and fill each with the glorious gospel of God. And be with each one before thee, Lord, those countless souls throughout this world. Prepare all of our hearts now to receive thy word. Make our hearts good ground, ready to receive the good seed of thy word, and may, Lord, there be fruitful hearing and fruitful preaching this day in thy church throughout the world. Awaken those dead in sin into life, and cause to know their danger and their need of a refuge. Draw near and grant comfort and pardon to those who long have sought for mercy. Give fresh glimpses to those who have known thy mercy in time past and long for it again. Comfort the downcast and the sorrowful. Guide the perplexed and those who need thee to direct them in the way of life. Appear for any in trouble, bear every burden, relieve every care. And bless each soul. Bless thy church and the congregation here. Bless the ministry of thy servants and the reading services also. Answer in mercy the prayers put up at the prayer meeting on behalf of this nation, and to open the eyes of our rulers. And may there yet be that turning back to thee and that realization that we are under thy hand of judgment and that there is a cause. Bless the deacons of this cause and help them in all their responsibilities, especially in these days, the more practical responsibilities. And do bless them each in their pathway. Especially remember our friend here in his pathway, and remember him and his wife at this time. Draw near unto them, and may they prove thy grace is sufficient for them. and thy strength made perfect in weakness. But support them and their family in this difficult time. And Lord, we pray thy blessing to rest on each member of this church. Unite them together in love and union. May Satan be kept out. And may they be humbly united around the cross of Christ. And may they know thy blessing, thine aid, thy guidance, thy smile. And then, Lord, remember each one of this cause in the congregation. In thy time, may many of them be joined to this church publicly. And do visit each of thy salvation. And Lord, remember any who may listen online. Perhaps, Lord, some, even from this village, who've never come to thy house. Maybe, Lord, they're afraid to come. Lord, take away those fears. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless that means used for the good of many souls. Be with any, Lord, who need thee in any special way this week. Do draw near and grant the assurance of thy love and thy care and thine aid. Bless the children and help them and grant them success in their studies and open doors for them and supply their needs and to help them in these difficult days. And help parents to bring them up in thy fear and answer their prayers for them. Remember those in the midst of life with its burdens, cares, and busy scenes. May thy guidance and thy appearing hand be known, thy sustaining care and mercy. Lord, remember those in the evening time of the journey, the greater part of life done. May they be made ready to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better than being here. Help us as we now come to thy word. Reveal thyself unto us in the scriptures. May light shine upon the sacred page, and may light shine in our hearts, as it did on the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus that day, when his heart was changed by grace. And although not so dramatic, Lord, yet may we know that same change and that same light in our hearts this day, as we seek thy mercy, that mercy in Jesus, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let's continue with hymn 1103. O thou that hearest the prayer of faith, wilt thou not save a soul from death that casts itself on thee? I have no refuge of my own, but fly to what the Lord has done and suffered once for me. 1103.
seeking the Lord's help. We turn this morning to the 116th Psalm, verse 15. Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The psalmist in this psalm is praising the Lord for deliverance from some trouble that he was in. He recounts of how he'd called upon the name of the Lord, and how the Lord had answered his prayer. And he rejoiced in the deliverance which the Lord had evidently granted him. Now, towards the end of the psalm, he stops and he makes this observation: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. When God made the world in all its purity and unfallen state, he said it was good, but he did not say it was precious. And yet he says here in our text that the death of his saints is precious in his sight. Precious. What does precious mean? It means something that is highly valued to you. It means something that is very dear to your heart. It is a fruit of love. And it is something that you take care of. Something that is precious to you, you'll take more care of than of something which is not of such value. And you'll do all you can to preserve it from harm, from danger, from destruction. This is what the Lord says of the death of his saints. Of course, death to us by nature is anything but precious, is it? The end of life, the beginning of eternity, the door to the judgment seat of God. And the reckoning for the life that we've lived. Death brings to an end human relationships. Even the strongest, closest, most loving of human relationships, it can stand many trials. It can't stand death. Death is stronger. It brings pain and sorrow. To the unbeliever, death is to be feared. They would rather it did not exist. It is a terror to them. It is an unknown to them. And yet their consciences tell them that there is something after death. You know, there is a journalist in our land, very prominent. He's very open and has been for many years that he is an atheist. And yet he recently acknowledged that he was afraid of death and he could not understand why. The reason is, beloved friends, he has a conscience. And our consciences tell us that there is something after death. After death, the judgment. And we read that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's never more angry with the wicked than in the day of death. Because they have never glorified his name in their entire life for one single moment. And yet, how differently do we read here, does he view the death of his saints? Now, what is a saint? The biblical definition of a saint is very simple. A sinner saved by grace. That's what a saint is. It's not someone who can work miracles, as others some falsely think. It's not someone that can answer prayers. It's not someone who is somehow in a different league in faith to others. All of the Lord's people, without exception, are saints. Those who have been taught something of their need, those who have been taught to flee to Christ for mercy and pardon, his saints are those who love Christ, who find him precious, who trust him and rest upon him. And we have here this term, his saints. Not just saints, his saints are his, they belong to him. In covenant love and mercy, given into the hands of his Son by his Father in eternity past, in that covenant of grace and mercy, his saints, and they're just as much his saints. In the events leading up to their death as they are in life. And they are precious to him. And they are dear to him. His saints. You see, this is why the death of his saints is precious. Ultimately, it's because his saints are precious. His saints are dear to him. His saints are valuable. His saints are loved by him. And because they're precious, he will take the best of care of them in life. And he will take the best of care of them even in death. This is really what this verse is saying. That his saints are so dear to him. That he will do all his almighty power can do to preserve their souls from sinking into hell at last. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It is precious because it is the time when God has decreed from all eternity past. And this saint We'll come to the end of the journey. The work of grace finished. The battle over and done. Delivered forever, finally, from the grasp and the malice and the rage of Satan. Released from the effects of sin and the curse that sin brings. Brought safe home as a trophy of grace. Into the sight and to the immediate presence of God. There to live forever. Precious. In the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This is the reason that the Lord died. That his saints may be with him in glory forevermore hereafter. It is precious in his sight because of this saint who's on the very verge of glory. He says to them, you've been long enough living by faith. Now the time has come to live by sight. You've been long enough in the battle with Satan. Now the time has come to rest eternally. You've been long enough in this world here below, living by grace. Now that grace is going to be crowned with glory. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And none of us really can comprehend the happiness that the saints of God enter into, that moment after death. In vain, the hymn writer says, the fancy strives to paint the moment after death, the glories which surround his saints when yielding up their breath. One gentle sigh, their fetters break, we scarce can say they're gone. Before the willing spirit takes its mansions near the throne, faith strives. But all its efforts fail to trace her enough light. No eye can pierce within that veil which hides that world of light. Thus much, and this is all we know. They are completely blessed, have done with sin and care and woe and with their shepherd. And a glimpse of it in the Revelation. Only a glimpse. Heaven is a place of perfect rest. A place of perfect peace. Perfect contentment. Perfect happiness. Perfect joy. Perfect health. In other words, they could not be more filled with joy and peace and health than what they are. And it will last forever. And it will never decrease. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sickness or suffering or weariness or trial or tribulation, or trouble, or distress, or tears. There will be no more sin, and therefore there will be no more curse, which is a consequence of sin. There will be no more darkness or distress. There will be no more withdrawings of the Lord's presence, but the full shining and the blaze of his glory will be known. There is perfect union and love between the saints. And all the conversation of heaven is Christ-centered and Christ-glorifying. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Child of God, the prospect is a good one. And some of you may not be so very far away from it now. Some of you, you've got a lot longer to live, perhaps a lot longer. But for all of its saints, their future happiness is secured. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. At death, his saints do not just see him. And that's a precious thing to consider for a moment, to see him. Child of God, he's been precious by the eye of faith. But how much more precious will he be with your literal eyes? When you see him not by faith, but by sight, with your faculties. You've heard his voice by faith, and you confess that there's no voice like it on earth, is there? You agree with those soldiers who defended themselves against his enemies, who said, "Never man spake like this man." There's no one that can speak like your Jesus can to you, is there? In love, in compassion, in tenderness, in wisdom, in mercy. Well, if his voice has been music to your ears by faith, what must it be to hear with your literal ears him speak? And that will be one of the joys of heaven. He will speak to you face to face and tell you of his love for you. He will explain your pathway. One of the definitions and explanations for that term, "there shall be no more tears. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Not just does it mean that there will be no more reason for them to have tears in heaven, but God will explain why it was necessary for them here below to walk a valley of tears. There are some things you've gone through and you do not know why. And you will not know why this side of glory, but you will the other side. They may cause you grief now, they will not cause you grief there. All tears wiped away forever. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But not just to see him, but to be made like him. And here is one of the happiness is of the believer, of the saint. Is it not one of your chiefest sorrows and crosses that you are not much like him here below as you would wish to be? There's so much sin that drags you down. Your cumbered about the frailty and the weakness of your flesh. You wish you had more faith, more love, more hope. You wish you were more consistent. You wish that you could bring more honour and glory to his name. There in heaven you will, child of God. And that is one of the great rejoicings of heaven, that in heaven you will worship him in the beauty of holiness and give him the honour and glory due to his name, which you desired to do here but couldn't. In perfection. There you will live in his sight, and all that you think or do or say will be pleasing and honouring to him. There, believer, you will be as much like unto him as it is possible for a saint to be, precious in the sight of the Lord. Is the death of his saints in its present tense, is, it's the case for each of his saints individually. And then notice it says the sight of the Lord. That means, believer, that the Lord looks upon you. That means he observes you. He's watching you. And he's watching you with tender care and concern and love. And as he looks upon you, he regards you as precious in his sight, as attractive, as fair, perfect through his comeliness. You've never been out of his sight from the moment of your birth. Though you have not always realized it, and you don't always realize it, do you? Sometimes you often feel to be alone. Perhaps you feel to be forsaken, forgotten. If you're favoured to be a saint, that can never be true. Because even though you cannot necessarily see it, the Lord looks upon you. The Lord thinks upon you. The Lord loves you, believer. You're under his care, and you're under the best of care. Even in times of darkness and distress, even in the deepest trial and storm, you remember those disciples on that lake in Galilee. And the darkness came down, and the storm came up, and they were toiling and rowing that dark night in that boat. We read this simple word. He saw them toiling in rowing. They couldn't see him, but he could see them clearly. They did not enjoy his literal company, but they were never out of his sight. He observed every tossing of that boat. He heard every cry that was frightened on their hearts. And although they did not realize it, they were still in his care. They didn't go to the bottom either, did they? They got safe through. But when they were in it, they couldn't feel it. They couldn't enjoy it. It did not take away the fact that they were still in his sight and in his care. So, believer, so often is that not true in your trials, in your tribulations, in your struggles, in your difficulties? It's hard, it's difficult. Yes, it may even seem dangerous. And you fear that you're going to plunge into hell in an unguarded hour. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. See how it starts, beloved. That means in the trial even you're precious to him. And yes, it is to try you. In other words, it is difficult. It's intended to be. but you'll come through it. You'll come out of it. You will not lose your God in it, and you'll not lose your faith in it. It may be reduced. Often the trial does that. It shows us just what we are by nature. And it shows us that what we thought was faith, a lot of it was nothing more than presumption. Or a natural faith, and that will not stand the fire. But true living faith always does, because it is indestructible. And true faith will even stand death itself. Nothing else will. So here Writer says, on the theme of free grace, but it's the same theme. Free grace can death itself outbrave and take its sting away. Can souls unto the utmost save and them to heaven convey. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And therefore, believer, if you've been in his sight all through life and all through your troubles and trials, our text reminds us that death will not cloud you from his sight. He will be there, over it all, observing, in control, just as he always has been. And although we do not know the circumstances of our death, they vary. With some, there is virtually no warning. They go to sleep and they awake in heaven. With others, the warning is perhaps some years in advance and it is known. But in each case, in each sight, in each saint, the case is true that they're in his sight and he knows what they're about to go through because he has decreed it. He that formed me in the womb, he shall guide me to the tomb. All my time shall ever be ordered by his wise decree, even your time of death, believer, in his hand, under his wise decree. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So, child of God, this morning, do not fear. Do not tremble. Yes, it might be lonely. Yes, it might be difficult. Yes, it will be hard for the flesh. Yes, there may be fears. And yes, Satan may try and do all he can to distract, distress, and annoy, but he knows he can't do any more than that. He knows he can't touch a life believer, and that fills him with rage. So he'll pretend to you that he can. Don't believe him. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because on the day of your death, at the hour of your death, at the moment of your death, believer, you will be under the blood of Jesus Christ. And you'll be safe under that blood. You're under it now. You've been under it since the eternity past when you were chosen in him. And death cannot knock you off that. You're under the blood, so you're safe. The blood comes between the fiery justice of God and you. So you're safe. The blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than Satan, and he can't get through it. So, believer, you're safe. You're safe in your Redeemer's arms, who bears your name upon his breast, even in death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In just outside Bethlehem, there is a field which is very superior in pastures. Its situation is such that it is very desirable even today for the sheep. In that pasture, there is still water for them to drink. And there are trees for them to find shade in from the midday sun. And it is a place which for many years, even from biblical times, the shepherds of Bethlehem have taken their flocks to. But between Bethlehem, where their folds are, and this pasture, there is a valley. It's the only valley, it's the only way to this pasture. There's no way around it, there's no other way to it. And it is believed that this valley is what David had in mind when he penned the 23rd Psalm. And it is really little more than a little ridge cut into the cliff. It's a solid cliff. And on one side it goes up sheer, several hundred feet. On the other side it is sheer, a sheer drop, several hundred feet, which if man or beast fell, they would fall to certain death. It is apparently so dangerous that no shepherd would dare take the flock through as a whole. And so what they do, even today, is they have built sheepfolds at one end of the valley and at the other end too. And they pen their flock in, and one by one, the shepherd takes his flock across and through that valley to the other side. That sheep has to leave behind the rest of the flock, can't take them with him. But it need not fear, because every step through that dark valley, that dangerous valley, he has the complete attention and care and love and concern of his shepherd. And that's all he needs. And he gets safely through. That was a picture that David had in mind when he penned, "Yea, lo, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Yes, believer, you can't take other believers with you. But you'll have your shepherd with you. Yes, it may and will be dark and lonely and discouraging perhaps and cold. But your shepherd will be there every step of the way. And remember what he said, through the valley. That means you're going to pass safely through to the other side. You're going to get to the other side. And what's the other side? Heaven. Well, there's no more valleys. when there's no more darkness, when there's no more danger, there's nothing more to distress. And believer, he calls you to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. It's only a shadow. It can't hurt you. Shadow can't hurt anyone, can it? It's only the shadow. The substance of death for the believer is gone. When Christ died on Calvary's cross, it was all taken away. So it's only a shadow. The unbeliever is called to pass through the valley of death. And the other end of that valley is hell. And all the substance of death for him remains forever. And it's a solemn thing, beloved friends, to face death and not be a saint. When the saint dies, he goes home. When the unbeliever dies, he leaves home forever. Which will it be for you? If it was this day you were called to pass, which valley would you go into? Would it be the shadow of death or the valley of death itself? Do you have this prospect that you're going home to heaven to be with Jesus, to be with Christ? To know in even greater fullness now, then and now, what it is to be his. Will you have that sting, depart from me, I never knew you. Be one or the other. Oh, to be among his saints. Things that once were wild alarms, says the hymn writer, cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, leaning on his loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here. Doubt and care and self resign. While he whispers in my ear, I am his and he is mine. You're still his in the valley of the shadow of death, believer. The prospect is a good one. But then, how do you become saints? This is the key to the door. What comfort will this be to us if we are not his saints? Beloved friends, we become saints through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus himself told Nicodemus how it happened. Ye must be born again. What does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit of God comes into our hearts at some point in the journey of life and does what was not done before. It means he gives us our living faith in Christ. It means he teaches us who Christ is. This is what real religion is. It brings you into a relationship with Christ. It brings you to know Christ. It teaches you to trust him, to love him, to follow him, to flee to him. It teaches you that you cannot save yourself. You are nothing but sin in and of yourself. But that all that you need for heaven is found in Christ. In the life he has lived and the blood he has shed and the death that he has died. In the words of the title on the top of hymn 303. Lovely hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer billows roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me. O my Saviour, hide till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Of a refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. That's the language of a saint. That's the experience of a saint. Of a refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. And do you know the title of that hymn? Tempted, but fleeing to Christ. False religion will make you flee away from Christ. But if you're his saint, you'll be taught to flee to Christ for salvation, for safety, for refuge. That's what it is to be a saint. If you're in this text, beloved friend, you will find in your sight that Christ is precious to you. And that is because you are precious to him. You'll be emptied of yourself. And you'll find everything in him. You'll be brought to know what Top Lady said. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply, to thy cross I cling. That's what it is to come with nothing but our need. And to cling solely upon Christ to supply that need. That's what his saints are taught. And if you've been taught that, then you have a right humbly to say you're among the saints, if Christ be made precious to you. Because the one thing Satan will never do is make Christ precious to anyone. He can deceive. He can build up with much knowledge, which in the end will turn out to be nothing but head knowledge, even though it may be right. And orthodox and 100% accurate as far as the doctrines go. Sometimes it is possible to have some kind of emotional experience which turns out in the end nothing to be nothing more than emotion. But the one thing the devil never does is he makes Christ precious, because he hates Christ. But the whole work of the Holy Ghost is to make Christ precious, is to make Christ attractive, and is to make Christ the center of your life. And that's what his saints know. They say, I am nothing, but Christ is everything. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so, child of God, fear not. Fear not the future and fear not death. You've trembled at it. And your Saviour and your almighty friend will be as almighty when you need him most, which will be at the hour of death. As he was to you in the hour of life. And perhaps this morning you say, well, that's all very well, but I'm many years from death. Or maybe you are. Though this past year has taught all of us, surely, you can't take anything for granted. But if you're a believer, you will be exercised about death. And if you are a believer, even though it may be many years hence, yet this word is still true. and you can still take comfort from it. And plead it before your God. Plead before God that it may be true of you, that your death may be precious in his sight. Because if it is, you'll get safe home to heaven at last. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Buss will preach again this afternoon at 2:30, and there will be no Sunday school today. And Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Monday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day again at 10:30 and 2:30. And today the collections are for the TBS West Anglia Auxiliary. Let us close with hymn 536. 536. Behold a scene of matchless grace, 'tis Jesus in the sinner's place, heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. Hymn 536.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost rest, rule, and remain with us now and forever. Amen.